All right. How you doing?
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem, tired. Okay, we're going to keep it brief. Keep on going way over time. It's not good.
That's fine.
For you guys. We spoke yesterday very... Kavod Chaverim, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So tonight, I was just thinking about Kavod. In general, Kavod, respect. And Kavod is very strange. Huh? Should you want to know? Kavod is very strange. Okay, first of all, there are many places in Torah that we have a chiv of kavod. Last week we spoke about kavod chavercha, right? Respecting your friend. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were not noheg kavod zelazeh. They were nice to each other, but they didn't have honor, respect. Okay? We have... Let's see, I made a little list. So I shouldn't... We had kavod chaverim. There's an Indian of kavod rabbo to a rabbi. There's kavod beis hamedrash to the shul, place of worship. There's kavod haTorah. What else? Chazal. In Chazal we find that there's a mitzvah for a man to be mechabed his wife more than he respects himself. Kavod Shabbos. What else? Kavod Achsanya, which is to your host. Kavod for Hashem. And that's all I put down here. And I'm sure there's probably more.
And all these, there's different ways of administering the respect.
Probably. But it's funny that there are so many, like, strange, you know, so many different. And Achiv and Chazal, when we find something, it's not just, you know, like, respect something in your heart. It requires action. As we have a mitzvah, Kibud Avim. The Gemara says, Kibud Avim. What's kavod? What do you mean, what's kavod? I respect my parents. No. Chazal list five things. To escort them in and out, feed them, give them to drink, help them get on their clothes if they could use some help. Chazal list practical applications of kavod. So it's not just, you know, this thing, you should have respect. Of course you should have respect to everything. You know, you should have respect. No, there's practical applications and halakos, how to show and give respect in action of all these things. So it's strange that there's so many real practical mitzvos of kavod. What is it? So we have to define exactly what is kavod. What is kavod? And two more points. And that is, why is kavod so dangerous? You're both here. My father's speech, right? My father spoke about how horrible it is people who have a little too much self-respect for themselves. You know, they build themselves up and all the pomp and all the, you know, luxury. What is so dangerous about kavod, right? There are many stories of gedolim who ran away from kavod, right? Right, to run away from kavod. As a matter of fact, I was trying to remember where it is. But there was a Rabbeinu Yoina, okay, who says, regarding a certain mitzvah, I don't remember what it was, and he says, when you do this mitzvah, be careful not to get or take any pride or respect for it. Because for that little pleasure of kavod, for that little thing that you get of kavod, you could entirely lose your whole reward, everything you deserve for that action. Why? Why is kavod so special and so dangerous that it can make you lose your fortune?
Because I can run to someone's head real easily.
And therefore,
make him know the son think that I'm above everybody else. I'm the one who did it, I'm the one who made it, it's mine, that's it, and I'm the only one who can do it.
There are a lot of midos ra'os. There are a lot of bad character traits. Jealousy, hatred, immodesty. Sheker, trickery. There's tons of bad character traits. What is it specifically about kavod? And by the way, kavod and gaiva are different. Gaiva is pride, feeling, as you say, like, holier than thou. Who are you? It's gaiva. Kavod is just a feeling of respect, It's a respectfulness, It's not that I feel that you're nothing next to me, but, let's say you're the Rav, you built yourself a shul, and then you have a congregation, and you're very accepting of the fact that everybody stands up when you walk in, because you are the Rav. Nobody's saying that you're putting anybody else down, but I am in the position which I am the Rav of the congregation, and it is proper for them to stand up for me, and it feels good. I'm not saying that everybody's a piece of dust.
There's two things that happen, though.
Huh?
Two things happen in that. One, I just forgot what I was about to say. Two, you leave Hashem out in that. I did it. The answer.
That may be gaiva. That's not covered.
But if you don't respect
that's the capital I.
Huh? If you say that, okay, it's respect for me.
Yeah, I am the Rav. I teach them Torah. I pask in their shilas. It's proper for them to stand up. And it is proper for them to stand up.
If Hashem doesn't give you what you need to do that,
right.
Give you the tools.
I told you, I'm not taking the credit for it. I thank God and everything. But it feels good. I like the fact that everybody stands up for me.
That's
dangerous. Right, right.
So there's humbleness.
That's what I'm saying. There are many midos. That's what I'm saying. There are tons of good character traits and negative ones. Specifically, this one is the one that we picked out as being dangerous for all your reward of Olam Haba. Why? Anything's dangerous. Right? Sinas chinam. Hating of another Jew for no good reason. That's horrible, right? True, you may burn in Gehenna for it and everything. Right? But this has a specific attribute that you take pride, you take this kavod and respect out of a mitzvah, you may not get reward for the mitzvah at all. Another thing is, and this is something there are a few guys that were learning here before, I put up $50 for an answer. Question is follows. Gemara Megillah says as follows. I'll give you the background quickly. The Gemara is trying to show that reading the Megillah with a tzibur, with a large congregation, is extremely important. So important that even if you're in the middle of learning, close your learning and go to hear the Megillah. Megillah is more important. So the Gemara proves it by the fact that we say that on Purim, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, we don't mourn, we don't cry, we don't eulogize a dead person. The Yom Tov holiday is more important. But if it's a Talmud Chacham that died, you could eulogize and cry, whatever. So that shows that the Talmud Chacham, the Torah, is more important than the celebration of the holiday. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara, you're trying to show that Torah is more important than the holiday from there? That doesn't prove anything. That's kavod for Torah. That's respect for the dead Talmud Chacham. Kavod HaTorah, we all know, is very important. And even more important than the holiday itself. Talmud Torah is what we're discussing. Should you learn instead of hearing the Megillah? Is the holiday of Purim and the Megillah more important than learning? Or is learning more important than the holiday? And we want to say learning is less important than the holiday. Go hear the Megillah. You want to show me that eulogizing a Talmud Chacham on Purim is more important? That's eulogizing him. That's kavod for Torah. Kavod for Torah, of course, is more important. Where does the Gemara get that? There's no source that's quote. It sounds like it's like a, it's just like a simple thing. Like, yeah, what are you comparing? You know, apples and oranges. That's Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah, of course, is more important. We're talking Talmud Torah. Where do we get this thing that's so posh, so simple? Kavod HaTorah is more important than Talmud Torah. Don't we all know Talmud Torah is like the biggest mitzvah? You should probably need something, some strong basis that Kavod HaTorah is more important. So where do we get it from, number one? And what's Taka Pshat? Why? Let's say you find some pasuk in the Torah that says it. Good. Why is that the case? So I asked this question. Answer should be what?
Why or where?
Where and why? Or why? No, I'll give you 50 for you. Go. After 11. Okay? I don't want to take too long. Okay?
Did it possible?
I've asked this to a few great men and they didn't have answers.
Did it possible?
Sorry? Yeah. I don't know. It's not brought down. I have an opinion. But everybody's welcome to their own opinion. No source is brought down. I have a question. So, what's the source for it? And what's the shot? So, I had an answer. And I was asking this once in the yeshiva in Vialapol, the night seder. And one of the boys on the spot whips out
Can
a phone. Whips out a phone.
Call
I was like the shalom for night seder. Whips out a phone and calls his Rav, who was by a simcha in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Can you imagine? And the Rav picked up the phone.
And he answered.
And he answered. Kimat the exact same answer as I had. Almost. I'll tell you both of the answers. My answer was Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to offer Klai Yisrael the Torah. This is the day that we've all been waiting for. The first day of Shir. The yeshiva's opening. First day of Talmud Torah. God is teaching us the Torah. Maimed Har Sinai. And Hashem says, get ready. 2 days, I'm coming down. I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm going to teach it all to you. Anochi, straight through, everything. Comes along Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, wait a second, Rabbi. Wait a second, Hashem. Can we push off Shir a day? I got something more important. Can we push off Shir? I want 3 days. Why? Whole thing, a woman that has relations with a man can remain tummy for 3 days through that. A certain level of tummy. It's not a chomer, it's not a severe level of tummy, but a light level of tummy. So a woman that has relations with a man within the past 3 days may be tummy. And I don't want the women to be tummy for Matan Torah. So let's delay the day that we've all been waiting for all these years. The whole entire Briyas HaOlam was waiting for this day. Hashem, can we push off Shir one day? I'd like to have one more extra day of preparation that the women could be a little better prepared to show, in my opinion, this was a sign of more proper preparedness as a sign of Kavod HaTorah. This was not needed for the giving of the Torah. The Haraya, Hashem was willing to give the Torah. The Torah was supposed to be given after 2 days of preparation. So obviously, they didn't have to be Tahar for the Torah to be given. God was ready to give it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, wait, I'd rather the women attend with a certain level of higher purity. It's more appropriate. So in my opinion, that is the source. You could argue. It's arguable. But that was my opinion. That's where we find in the Torah a source that we push off Torah for the sake of giving it more recognition. You're pushing off Torah for the sake of showing an added measure of respect for it. And that's where we see that the respect and the recognition and honor and glory of Torah could be more important than Torah itself. It's arguable. I don't know. This boy called his Rav And he gave similar. I have a reproof. I have a kasha on it. But he wanted to say along the lines, he said, Klai Yisrael should have gotten the Torah 3 days after leaving Mitzrayim. That was the original plan. Right? Klai Yisrael was supposed to tell Paro, we're just leaving on a 3-day journey. Right? And we'll be back. That was the original plan when Moshe Rabbeinu first spoke to Paro. We just got to go for 3 days. We're going to go get the Torah and we'll come back. And yet, when they left Mitzrayim, it ended up being 49 days. Why? For a higher level of preparation. So, very, very similar answer. I have a cash on it, but fine. Not for that. Okay? That's for a source. The question is, why?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this is not... It's two questions. One is a source. We're looking for a source. And now we want an explanation. Why? Such a great level of importance given to Kavod HaTorah. It's wonderful. Kavod HaTorah is great. We first opened this Nikril. You know what the Rishiva's first response was? He said, buy a building. Huh? Buy a building? Buy a building. Why? He said it should be beautiful. It should be special.
When we first opened what?
This Nikril. Okay. It used to be dead over here. A little more than a year ago at night. So, anyway, this is what she was like. Gotta be nice, special. So we picked here because from all the shuls in the neighborhood, this is probably the most appropriate. It's nice, big, eerie. Alright, anyway. So she was very magnified. Why? Why is it so important? Even more important than the learning itself. Sounds ridiculous. You wear your shoes, don't you? You have kavod to them.
No, you can't accept a rav if you don't have kavod. You can't accept his
psalm. Well, you go to him, you just give him a shayla, he says, also mutter.
You kavod with your life.
You talk to him, you know, straight, you know, not third person. How you doing? So I was thinking about tonight, pacing the floor, and I'm telling you, I've been thinking about this question for probably 10 years. I've been thinking about other things as well. It wasn't 10 years straight. But this question has been, this question has been on my mind, unanswered, for a very long time. And the siyata d'shmaya, I guess, in the schus of tonight, it hit me an answer. I don't know if it's the answer. I don't have any necessary proof to it. But it's a possible answer as to why kavod may be even more important than the learning itself. What is kavod? What is it? It's strange. It's a weird thing. Like, is it like just a thing in the mind? It's like a weird thing.
It's not a thing in the mind.
It borders on the lines of love, but yet it doesn't go over the line. At the same time, it's not too far away from it, and it's somewhere right in the middle. It's extremely hard to explain.
Beautiful, but you said everything perfect.
It's like right in the middle of between love and just like
great.
Not really.
You couldn't have said it better.
But it doesn't fall over the border.
Right. Perfect. And I'm gonna build that up. Mamish. We have a Mishnah that says, "Havi zahir b'gachaltan shel chachamim." Be careful from the burning coals of talmid chachamim. You get too close, you get burnt. So get close enough where you could warm yourself. You could get some of the warmth, the Torah, the spirit, and everything. But you get too close, you get burnt.
Yeah, but isn't that a contradiction to the voice of
God? That doesn't make any sense.
It means warm yourself by their coals. But, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, yeah, sometimes you see people, they get a little too close to tell me the chalim. And it's not good for them. It's not good for them. So we have this thing, you're supposed to get close to Talmud Chacham, as you just said, Ubo Sidbuk. Get close to Talmud Chacham. Connect. Connect! But hey, be careful. Don't get too close. What would you say kavod is? Kavod, would you say, is a hanhaga that distances oneself? Or it is an act, it is actions, it's a mannerism which brings you close.
It's through distancing. So
you were grappling with it. It's a little love and it's a little fear. It's
an action mannerism that can bring you close, but at the same point in time,
you need to know
your
distance.
So it doesn't bring you over the border. It doesn't bring you over
right.
the line.
You need to know your distance.
So let's work on clarifying.
I mean, for instance, like I could offer a guy a ride to Bar Park. But at the same point in time, if you ask me to take him to Baltimore, I'm going to say no.
So let's see if we could see in Chazal something from the Gemara that can give us a little direction in that. Okay? So we have a Gemara in Kedushin that says, we all know there's a mitzvah to respect our parents. We also have a mitzvah in the Torah that says to fear your parents. The language, excuse me,
supposed to fear and respect.
Right.
Okay.
Two separate mitzvahs entirely. Mm-hmm. And they have different guidelines. Different guidelines.
Does it mean fear their wrath and respect their decisions?
No. As a matter of fact, it may be, well, fear their wrath doesn't exist at all, but respecting their decisions is really the mitzvah of fear. It's interesting. But anyway, so the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara notes a difference in the Torah's expression of the two mitzvahs. It says, Kabed es avicha v'asimecha, which the word av, father, comes first in the pasuk, in the mitzvah of respect. And when it comes to the mitzvah of fearing, it says, ish imo v'aviv tiro, a man should fear his mother and father. So why in the mitzvah of fear does the Torah precede the mother, and in the mitzvah of kavod, the Torah precedes the father? This is the Gemara's question, and the Gemara answers as follows. Interesting. Psychological
answer.
They're
usually closer to their mother, therefore you need to start distancing yourself a little to realize the...
But that's not... And that's why the Torah says a man.
Huh?
Is that also why
it says a man should fear is a different thing. Because once a woman is married, she's not able to.
Usually a man curses his mother, and...
We're going to deal with Chazal for that. Okay?
Okay.
Chazal understood psychology much better than us. If we have a source in it, let's see what they say. Huh? Okay? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, naturally, a child would fear his father more. Why? Because his father teaches him Torah.
So it is a
child. Fear his father more, because his father teaches Torah. That, first of all, leads us to understand fear has nothing to do with smacking. We should take his father stronger. It says a child naturally fears his father more because the father is the one that teaches and gives over the tradition, the Messiah, the Torah, which shows us fear does not mean scared. It means a certain respectful awe of father's greatness. Father's the one who's giving us the Torah. That's a certain reverence which normally we would have put into the word kavod, really. No, that's yira. Yira is a certain reverence that you attribute to someone that's great. You look up and like, keep back. He's great. So since you might naturally fear, be in awe, and revere your father more, to balance that out, the Torah puts the mother first in that pasuk. And the Torah says, a person should fear his mother and father. We didn't want to put father. Because naturally, a person would fear his father. So we put mother first in that pasuk to up the ante on the mother. Why does it say kabides avicha v'asimecha? Because naturally, one would respect his mother more. Because the mother pushes him with soft words. A mother encourages him. So you would just now, you think, that's kavod. That's why you get like chummy with your mother. You're like a little too comfortable. That's not kavod. So it's interesting that normally we would define kavod as a certain distancing, a certain respect, reverence, take a step back. And over here the Gemara says, kavod, naturally you have more of a kavod to your mother because she encourages you with soft words. So you see over here the Gemara uses the term kavod for a certain level of closeness, not distance. Which is interesting. Strange, we would have said the opposite. So in other words, kavod, naturally speaking, we would have assumed it means to distance yourself. And yet the Gemara, in contrast to what we would have thought, says no. Kavod is a certain feeling of simple closeness, not awe and what we call respect. Certain closeness, casualness. You feel more close, casual, and loving with your mother because she encourages you nicely. So therefore the Torah has to tell you, you should also have that same feeling to your father, which is almost like a feeling of love. In halacha, practical halacha, Chazon Ish says that this halacha that we have, that a man should respect his wife even more than himself, does not mean open the door for her to the, you know, so her she could go into the car first. He says it does not mean what the street calls kavod.
The woman doesn't even want that.
Listen to what he says. Because that does not bring the marriage closer. That will distance yourself from her. If you offer respect, what we call respect in our language, respect and honor, if you act with your wife in what we normally call honor and respect, that's going to create a distance, a gap between the two. He says, when the Torah says you should respect your wife, it meant the type of respect that brings you close. Buy her nice jewelry. Spend more money on her clothes than you spend on your clothes. Give her the better steak. You take the smaller or the not as well cooked, whatever.
Give her the steak and you take a piece of chicken.
That's what it says. That is an honor which brings close. So you see again in practical halacha, also the Chazon Ish says, a type of honor, not honor that distances, but an honor that brings you close. Very different than how we would normally understand honor. And therefore, what I would like to say is as follows. We find that David HaMelech went up to Shaul when Shaul was sleeping. Okay? Let's fast forward. David HaMelech's old. And David HaMelech is chilled to the bone. He's cold. And they make fires for him. And they don't warm him. And they bring him a coat. And it doesn't warm him. And nothing is warm again. He feels cold. Chazal, why? Because when Shaul was chasing after David to kill him, and David was hiding, in the middle of the night David came into Shaul's camp, where Shaul was sleeping. And David cut off a little corner of Shaul's royal clothing. And the next day when Shaul came, you know, and had David right at the bullseye, David went and said, "Why do you hate me so much? Look, I had the opportunity to slice your neck last night. And I didn't do it. Why are you after me?" And Chazal say, even though of course he did this with a purpose, but on David HaMelech's level, there was a certain disregard and a disrespect shown to clothing. So therefore he was punished, and the clothing didn't warm him in his old age. They clothed him with the warmest of clothing. Didn't do the trick. Why? Now, that's weird. I mean, this is scientific. This is called, you know, plain and simple, insulation. Insulation will warm you, no? Mm-hmm. see from here a tremendous, tremendous secret. And that is that the only way something can fulfill its purpose in serving you is if you give it its proper regard. When you relate to it according to its level of how much it can offer you, it'll offer you. It will provide. When you do not respect it to its proper level of how much it can provide, it can't provide. My father once said, when the guy was looking for a parking, he said, God, please give me a parking spot, God. Oh, God, I don't need you anymore. I found a parking spot. And then you know what happens? Somebody pulls in and takes the spot instead. My father said that if you minimize God's capabilities, if you don't see his greatness and you don't respect him that much, he won't provide. He's only kevayachol capable of providing for you as much as you believe he could provide. Something can only provide to the recipient as much as the recipient recognizes how much he's being provided. To the extent that you don't recognize how much this item has to offer, they can't offer it. That's what we see from David. And the reason is because of this special secret that lies within Kavod that you said. You can go, you can have an object, and you can have so much regard for it that you can't even gain from it anymore. You're too distant. Let's take a Talmud Chacham, for example. A person could respect someone like so much that he's way too far. He's way too distant. It's exaggerated. And he's disconnected. He could get so close that he's not going to be on a level where he recognizes the Talmud Chacham as being the provider and he as the recipient. What do you mean? I'm his driver. He's the one that's getting from me. You know, I brought him his clothing. I brought him his food. I'm the provider. Then you're not going to get provided by him. You're not going to get what he has to provide.
You have to be in the gray area.
So you have to be in a situation where you have a relationship which is not too far, yet not too close. That's kavod. Kavod is love. Kibud av ha'eim is not this distanced respect. Kavod to your wife is not a distanced respect. It's a respect which brings close. But it's also respect. It's a certain appreciation for who that person is. Here's a very simple example. A parent wants a coffee. You can make him the coffee because you understand. I should treat my father like a king. I mean, he's a great person. Let me run and get him a coffee. Or, as many people may feel, when their father is already 90 years old, he's living in the house, it becomes such a big headache and a burden on him. Oh, Dad wants a coffee, what am I, a servant? You'll do the exact same act. You do the exact same act. One of them, you're looking at yourself as the provider. And one of them, you're realizing, Dad's great. I am lucky. I am privileged to be able to provide for him. When you're looking at it as a father being great and wonderful and awesome, and I'm privileged to be of a service to help him, you end up gaining from that relationship. Your father really is the one that's providing in that relationship. And you're really the recipient. Even though you're giving him the drink, you're really on the receiving end of that relationship. Whereas if you take a look at it like you're providing for your father, you're not going to provide you anything. You're not going to provide it for him, and you're not going to get it. So kavod is where you bond. I'm giving him something to drink in a very loving, caring way. but out of recognition that I am privileged to offer him a drink. I am privileged to be of a service to this great person who is my father. In that way, you're able to service him, and yet really you're being the recipient. You're really the one that's gaining from the relationship. You're getting a hashpa'a from the father. You're getting attached to who to the greatness that's in the father. And same thing with the tamachach. Guy's driving out. I'm using an example of driving because I know of somebody that I feel had this problem. He was driving around the Tamachacham, and I always sensed he was way too casual. Way too casual. And this Tamachacham had a second driver. When the other one was too busy, whatever, he was a secondary driver who was not used as often. One that wasn't used as often was easier to retain that level of proper respect. I'm privileged to be able to drive this, you know, this Talmud Chacham servant. And that way, even though he's driving the Talmud Chacham, he's gaining out of having the Talmud Chacham in the car. Instead of feeling, I'm the one that's providing for that. That's what Covet does. Covet is able to bond, yet still retain that feeling that I'm on the receiving end. This person is great, it's provided. That can be applied with a friend. All the areas where we find there's a mitzvah of kavod, that can be applied. Kavod for a friend. Kavod for a friend. We're friends, we're buddies, but he's providing for me, yeah. With the proper kavod that you have for a good, true friend, he's going to provide advice. He's going to provide constructive criticism. He's going to provide a listening ear for you. But if you're so chummy-chummy and you don't respect him in the fact that he's such a good friend, he's not going to be able to provide that for you. He's just going to be the buddy that you go out to eat with or play ball. He's not going to be able to provide that listening ear or the advice or constructive criticism. When you value him, this guy's a good friend. That's something special to have. I appreciate the fact that he could really be what a good friend is. He could offer me criticism when I need it. He could offer me advice when I need it. He could offer me an open ear when I need it. I appreciate that. Thank God I have him as a friend. Then I'll talk to be able to provide it. And the same thing is with a kavod for a shul. If you come into the shul and you put your feet up, you know, and you schmooze with your friend in the middle, and you bring in the food, and you're your kid, and that.
You can't be
the shul cannot provide what it normally provides, an environment of an uplifted nature to relate to God. It won't provide it. Those four walls, which is the same four walls. If you regard the shul with the proper respect, you then relate to the shul in a way that you are the recipient of that awe and glory that a shul could provide for your davening. Kavod for friend, kavod for a shul, kavod for a talmid chacham, kavod, what were the other ones we mentioned? Kavod for Shabbos. Shabbos. A guy who Shabbos is, this is my day, dig in. It's supposed to be Oneg Shabbos. We're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. But you know, don't go to the Shabbos Suda in your t-shirt and just dig in. Go to the Shabbos Suda in a respectful manner and dig in. Shabbos requires. If you want to gain from what Shabbos has to offer, you got to look up to Shabbos respectfully. When you look up to Shabbos respectfully, you will be able to gain out of that loving, it's a loving relationship. It's all and it's good, right? It's a loving relationship. The couch is good on Shabbos. It's a loving, we all love Shabbos. It's enjoyable. But you could just love Shabbos, or you can gain from the tremendous glory, kedusha, holiness, and everything that Shabbos is, if you respect Shabbos as well. If it's just a simple day of the couch and the stomach, you're not going to gain. Who else is there? Kavod for Hashem, kavod for a host. Says, what's a bad guest? The guest who comes in and says, you know why the host is providing everything? He enjoys having company. It's pretty boring, you know, I have a quiet table, you know. That's a bad guest, right? A good guest, he recognizes the kindness and the, you know, of the host, and he'll get more from the host that way. He'll be able to appreciate whatever the host has to offer 10 times more. Therefore, we can understand also why Kavod HaTorah is more important than Torah. Torah cannot affect you more than the level of your appreciation for it. The more we can understand the greatness and the importance and the holiness of Torah, to that extent, Torah will be able to provide for us a tremendous uplifting level of Kedusha. If we regard Torah as some people regard Torah, it's a wonderful book of wisdom. And they'll study it like a medical book. It's done. In many circles of Judaism, you could argue on an Amora. You could argue on a Tana. She said this, I say that. You know what? Torah's not going to provide much for you.
It's going to provide a medical book for you.
Right? It's nice, it's wisdom, that's about it. To the extent that we respect the Torah, to that extent it's able to provide. When we put ourselves in this relative to the item as being a recipient of how much that item has to offer, the item could offer. And it could offer for us. That's why it's so important, kavod. Because the only way you're going to get from something is if you respect it according to its level of how much it can provide. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait, God, don't give Torah yet. If we give it one more day of preparation, one more level of cleanliness and purity in anticipation for the great Torah, it'll do 10 times more for us.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Huh? I said there was nothing more to do. You clean your house, you know, you mop the floor 10 times for Shabbos. You know, the 11th time is just not going to do anything, right? You know, that was it. They came to a complete level of purity, and there was nothing more. But that's where we see that why kavod can be more important than the learning itself. What's more? Learning is the greatest mitzvah. But it can only work on you and get to your insides and uplift you to the extent that you recognize Torah's greatness. That's what held is the var. And that perhaps is also why that when you take kavod out of something, when you take kavod, you lose the sky. Not because God, I'm not going to pay you. What's sky? We discussed once earlier, what's sky? What's reward? Reward is what you attained through a mitzvah. You came to a greater level of closeness and understanding and relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You became more purified. You uplifted yourself, and now we're a little blinded, but when our neshama is free of our bodies, we're there. If we go and take a mitzvah, let's say, I don't know, chesed. We do an act of chesed. What's an act of chesed supposed to do for us? Supposed to turn us into a kindly person. And then we go and we take honor and glory out of it.
You're not a kind person.
So what happens is, instead of you being on the recipient end of becoming more of a kindly person, you're taking respect out of it, and you now feel like you provided for the poor person.
It's a double.
Where the kavod goes is what defines the thing as the provider. If I take respect, that means I feel I did for you. You're not going to become more kind. If you feel you deserve respect, you're looking at yourself as being the provider. If you look at yourself as being, I'm a nobody, but I'd love to help you. I don't deserve anything for that. I just want to help you. You become more kind. But when you feel you deserve credit for helping, you don't become more kindly. You don't become more kindly.
You do it for the credit of this.
You feel I'm providing. I'm the provider. Just like with a father. You can serve your father and become more of a father-son relationship to be able to receive from the father. Or you can provide for the father. And I'm the provider. Who are you? You're just eating the food. I'm making it for you. So when you take kavod out of something, that means that you feel you're doing something for the mitzvah. You're doing a kindness to God by doing his mitzvahs, you know? That means you don't recognize that you are privileged to do the mitzvah. For you to attain great heights through that mitzvah. You're looking at yourself, you're doing God a chesed for doing his mitzvahs. No, God, I'll keep Shabbos, you know. I'll put on tefillin for you, God. You know what? Tefillin is supposed to give a person a certain sense of subjugation. If you feel you're doing God a favor with the tefillin, so you deserve credit for this one. You're not going to feel subjugated by the tefillin. Every single mitzvah, if you take kavod and pride out of it, instead of you receiving what the mitzvah is supposed to be offering you, in terms of lifting you up as an individual and correcting certain flaws in your character, it's not going to do any of that for you. It's not going to do any of that. You feel you're doing God favors. The mitzvah is not going to be able to work on you if you feel you're doing something for the mitzvah. That's why taking kavod out of a mitzvah is so dangerous. Because then the mitzvah can't provide for you. You feel you're providing the mitzvah. So here we are in Sfira. Last week we spoke about giving proper respect to friends. And mitzvah Shem, now proper respect for Torah. Gain an appreciation for what Torah is, the holiness. Learn the Gemara. Hey, you can learn the Gemara. It's nice. It's good.
What I understand, Kavod is basically saying, "What is it providing for me by me doing this?"
Not what's in it for me, but this thing is so much greater than I am. This thing deserves my respect because it could provide what I don't have. It's greater than me. I don't have that mila. I don't have that special thing that this thing can provide for me. I cannot warm myself without clothing. So you should respect clothing then. Clothing can offer you something that you can't do. You should respect, have a karas hatov. Recognize the goodness that clothing provides. So respect clothing. That was with David HaMelech. I recognize that my body on its own, we are not cold-blooded creatures, we're warm-blooded, and then we cannot provide our own warmth. We need help. Recognize the greatness that HaKadosh, when you say Malbish Arumim in the morning, we're thanking Hashem for creating clothing that insulates. Recognize the greatness that clothing insulates and appreciate the clothing. So it's appreciating that which the item has. And therefore, in a certain way, it's basically that thing has a certain level of more importance than you. It has something that you don't have. Respect it. Respect it appropriately. And then it could provide for you. That's the part. Respect the thing appropriately, and then it could provide.
Then it can provide appropriately for you.
Right. Shtaka will be in the next few weeks to gain an appreciation for what Torah is. Unbelievable, the level of Kedusha. Like every Amora, every person whose name is mentioned in the Gemara was on such a high level of Kedusha, was capable of performing Tchiyas Hameis. And it's been done. There are a few accounts in the Gemara where it's been done. The famous one was on Purim. Kam Rabba v'shachti l'abba, you know? It was Rabbi Yosef. Two Amoraim, they were hosting each other for Purim Suda. They got drunk together. One of them chopped off the other one's head. And when he sobered up, he was like, oh boy. Ta-da. Tchiyas Hameis. The next year, the killer told the dead guy, you know, now it's your turn to come to me for the Suda this year. He said, I'm not coming so quick. He said, why not?
Last year
he said, so, but I got your back. He said, not always are we so sure that we could always provide miracles. But you see that miracles could be done. It's just not guaranteed. Everyone, that's why sometimes the Gemara just mentions a no-namer. Hahu Gavra. There was a man. Whoever's name is mentioned in the Gemara by name was a person who was on a level that was able to perform Kriyas HaMeisim. The Vilna Gaon says that if we were to see the face of a person who one time saw a prophet, we would collapse from the level of Kedusha on the face of the person who saw a prophet. But we can't imagine the people of Tanakh, the greatness of the people in Tanakh, the greatness of our Tanoim, the greatness of our Amoraim. We can't imagine.
We
can't imagine them. We have to gain a little appreciation of who these people were. You know? We will never be able to truly understand their greatness. At some level. And part of the way to do that is by reading the biography of people from nowadays. And when we see a little behind the scenes the greatness of people that have been living with us past 10, 20, 30 years, you could only then, you know, make deductions from there how great the earlier people were. No. But you read the biography on Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I'm not saying that every single story in every biography is 100% true. But probably the majority of them.
They don't say that
are,
about
them. Right? Probably, but no, I'm just saying probably the majority of them are true. So even if, that's the thing, even if you don't accept every single story as 100% truth, but it gives you a glimpse. It gives you a glimpse of who some people are. You read these stories, the level of Kedusha, and greatness, and purity, and kindness, and humbleness. And this is people who live, you know, in the 20th century in New York City, you know, like Rav Palm, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and then you could only assume, wow, can you imagine who the Chafetz Chaim was then? And now go back beyond the Chafetz Chaim, the Vilna Gaon, and go back beyond the Vilna Gaon, and then you come to say, to see, you know, how great the people of the Gemara were. Man, every word of Gemara can have so much more of an effect on us. So much more of an effect on us. We should all be zochet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.